and he recommended our brother to call me, and he called me. He come from a good mission, and is looking forward to go back to Guatemala, having only 45% of his salary and commitment so far. So we like to hear him. He's going to speak to us. He's going to show us some slides, and may the Lord will be done. But we are glad, brother, that you are here. Please come in and introduce your family and so on. And we welcome you to the pulpit, please.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
God bless you.
Buenas tardes. Good afternoon to every one of you, or good evening, actually. Thank you for allowing me to be here, Pastor, your wife also, and every one of you. Thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. And my wife is with me. I'm going to ask her to stand up, please. Just let me show you very briefly a little message. The pastor said that we have all night, so there is no rush, right? No, just kidding. I will try to be brief. If you open your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Are you with me there? The Bible says, "For a great door, ineffectual, is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here. I thank you, Lord, because in Christ, even though we do not know each other, we can relate and we can talk as we have known each other for a long time, because you are our Father, Lord. And I pray that you will give us an urgent heart to take advantage, Lord, of the doors that you have opened at the moment, and to give our best, Lord, to make an impact for thee and this earth. Help us, Lord, to realize that the time that we have is short. Help us, Lord, to give our best, since you have given your best for us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, he was aware of time. You know, he was on time. He was alert on the fact that he knew that he did not have much time, and he used the time that he had properly. And notice where it says in verse 4, "I must take a time off," right? That's what it says there. "I must work the works of him that sent me." In other words, the works of the Father, right? "While it is the day, the night cometh when no man can work." See, I want to talk to you for a few minutes, an open door. It is a blessing for us to be able and be and meet a place like this, where you can have a sign up there and the cross is facing the freeway, and nobody will come to your door and say, "Hey, you got to close this building. You are not allowed to meet here anymore." What a blessing to be able to have a public place and have the freedom to come. Did you ever give a thought to the fact that you will come here? Did you ever thought, "I wonder if somebody will come knock your doors and get us out"? Do you give thought to that before you came to church today or not? No problem, right? We just came to church. We don't think about that. But you know what? The fact is that there are many Christians that they think about that on a daily basis in different countries, even in Mexico as we speak, in Asia, in the Middle East, in Russia, in places like that. People don't meet as free as we do. But you know what? If you have seen lately, doors are closing a little bit. homosexuals can come to the school, to the public school, and teach your children that it's proper and it's okay to be an homosexual. But you go in there and said, boy or daughter or son, take your Bible and start a Bible study at the school. Would you be allowed to do that? Not, right? Listen, doors are closing. But thank the Lord for the doors that are still open. And let's not think much about the doors that are closed. But the question is, what are we doing with the open doors? The preacher here, Apostle Paul, says in verse 9, for a great door, an effectual, is opened unto me. One of the great things that the Lord does for His people is that He is the one that opens the door for His people. One of the doors is that He has given us free salvation. He has given us His Holy Spirit. He has given us His Word. Think about that, His Word. When the communist people were in Russia, and there are still some places in China still that they have to, if they have a Bible, you know what they do? They tear apart all this Bible and they just shred pieces, pages of the Bible. And a Sunday they will say, Pastor, you will take this page today. Your sister, you will take this page today. And next Sunday you just will exchange pages and then you will take the next page. And listen, they will take those pages home and they will try to memorize that page through the week. And even though they don't have the Bible, but let me tell you, they might even know more the Bible than you and I do. You know why? Because they appreciate the little what they have. But we have this book at home, and let me ask you, have you opened it this week? Do you open this book daily? What a great thing to have this book, to have it at home, to be able to share it with your family, to be able for you to learn. Many of us, I'm sure, I have more than one translation at home. Do you? And don't cost that much money, isn't it? What a great blessing to be able to have a Bible, a commentary, any kind of book. I mean, if you check a catalog, you will find all kinds of Bible, colors, shapes, commentaries, you name it. Today we have so many opportunities to know about God's Word. But if you will ask a normal Christian about certain doctrines of the Bible, they will not know how to explain it to you. How come? Because we are not taking advantages of the open doors that we have. And you know what? I wonder if the Lord is going to have to close the doors for us to wake up. Just think for a moment. How long has this church been open? Almost 20 years, Pastor was telling me. Don't you think that if the people will be open to the gospel, these people, this place will not be full? Should not be full? Or even a bigger place? People do not realize that they might die any moment. They think they have forever, and they live for their own pleasure, for their own lusts, and they don't think that they're going to face eternity in hell if they don't know Christ as their Savior. But that's the fact. Oh, thank the Lord with the fact that He has opened our understanding, our spirit, and has given us the ability to understand the gospel, to grasp it. And not only to grasp it, but to do something with it. The Lord has given us great doors, His holy word. And we have the message that may bring salvation to others. Notice with me also what it says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. A well-known verse. But a necessary one for us to just to. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Notice where it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yesterday morning we went knocking doors, and a girl very much like your age, I believe, he looked very much very young, but you know, we shared with her the gospel, and at last I kind of shared with her this verse. I said, you know, if you believe the gospel, you believe that Jesus Christ came and died for you at the cross, and he was buried, but he resurrected the third day. If you believe that he died for your sins, the Bible says that you can be saved today. And she prayed for us, and she accepted the Lord as her Savior. But you know, there are many people that need to know and learn about the gospel. And sometimes you, when you share the gospel, you might think, you know, I don't know if people is going to believe it or not. It is not up to you to decide that. We just have to share it. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In other words, it's the power of the Holy Spirit to share and to teach the truth to the hearts of people. We just have to share it. And sometimes I wonder if we share, if we are just ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever give thought to the fact, why did Paul said, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel? In the city of Rome, Rome was a very strong place to be. If you would say that you would be a Christian in Rome, you would say that you would have a God. You know what the Romans said? The emperors, the kings in the Roman time were their gods. And if you would have another God, you would be a traitor. And you might be ordered to death. Oh, you're not there to go and share the gospel with someone, because someone might go to the city, to a soldier, say, hey, you know, this one is teaching that has another God. And you must, you know, you might be able to death. Nero, one of the Roman, you know, emperors, he killed many Christians. Christians during the Roman times were thrown to the lions, to the animals, just to be dead, just to be killed. Would you do that? Would you share the gospel if you will know that your life will be on the line? Would you do that? But sometimes we don't even do that, even though we know we can share it without much of a problem, isn't it? Praise the Lord for the open doors that we have. It is an open door, because we have the Bible again. It is an open door because we have the financial power to make an impact. You know, if you really think about it, we all can give to church. But the church in a local community is not it. The gospel, do you know why Jesus Christ gave the Holy Spirit? You know why the Holy Spirit came? And you will receive the Holy Spirit, and you will be my witness in Samaria, in Judea, up there, and a little longer, and to the othermost of the earth. See? Sometimes the work of a church is not limited to the people that sit in pews, but the work of a church gets extended to a radio program, to a TV program, to a missionary, that goes and preaches the gospel to a place that you might never go. You might never go, but you might be able to send. You know what I'm saying? It is an open door, and we have to take advantage for the all the opportunities that we have. It is an open door for the message that we have, as I said at the beginning. But you know what? Have you ever thought about this? Just let me share with you just one more verse. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, I think it's a verse that we all know. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. The Bible says there, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Have you ever thought about this, to the fact that the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ? And your co-worker, the people that go to school with you, the people that you find on the street, they might have a religion. They might be a Jehovah Witness. They might be a Mormon. I don't know what they are. But if someone does not have Jesus as their Savior, they are not saved. And if someone is not saved, where are they going to spend eternity? Oh, what a blessed message that we have. The cults, they go and they spend time and hours sharing the gospel. Sometimes, I don't know if you've noticed, but Jehovah Witnesses, they spend a lot of time on the streets. I'm sure they even come to your door. You know why? Because they are trying to do something to earn salvation. But they don't know if they are saved or not. But if we know that we are saved, why don't we do something and make an impact for this world while the doors are still open? There is an open door for the great open doors that we have. Second place, we have a great open door, but with enemies. As we read in the verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. When you dedicate your life to the Lord, you are getting, and you are getting yourself into a battlefield. You know, when you dedicate yourself to the Lord, the devil does not like it. And he's going to fight you. He's going to fight with yourself. You know, our body, ourselves, sometimes we have to battle, isn't it? It's not easy to get up early in the morning. You know, say, why don't you stay a little longer? Sometimes we don't go in visitation and knocking doors because we'd rather go to the park. We'd rather have a good time instead of going, knocking a door, and we might be even mocked or thrown doors on faces or allow the doors to come out after us. Things like that. It has happened to me. But we have our enemies, ourselves, others, the world, the devil. The devil is our archenemy, so to speak, isn't it? And he will do anything to put something in your way to make you stumble. He will do anything when you start doing something for the Lord to use someone to stop you from serving the Lord. But you know what? If you know, if the Lord has guided you and the Lord has opened the door, do not stop. Many times we have heard and we have talked to people, and people have started, you know, a new ministry. They start excited and say, you are going to do something for the Lord. And a couple of months, I cannot go anymore. Things are getting too hard. I thought things were going to be easy, but since I began serving the Lord, things seems to be even worse than when I did not serve. It's true. When you are on the front line, the battle increases. Your enemy, get you. You know, the devil doesn't bother about you if you are just sitting in pews without doing much, just having a good time. But when you get into the battle, you will have the devil in your tail. You don't have a tail, but so to speak. But you know, that's the fact. That the missionaries have many enemies. They get sick, discouraged. You know, they are called. Sometimes their wives are called. But what about the little children? They suffer a lot many times. Sometimes the missionaries are far away from other believers. And they have to just, you know, learn to live with themselves. And sometimes they spend days and months preaching the gospel and no one responds. Adoniram Judson comes to my mind. He spent on Burma, India, 6 years with even one convert. 1 year later, after they arrived to Burma, the Lord gave them a son. 8 months later, they buried the son because their son died. They were persecuted. He was sent to jail. 6 years, 7 years later, the first convert. Wow! Now we want to see numbers. But the Lord is looking for someone to be faithful. Are you faithful? You know, we are faithful until things go our way, right? Once things get a little rough. No. I think the Lord wants me to go over this direction. It's too hard for me. Hey! If you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to battle. That's the real life. You know why it gets rough here? Our home is not here. Our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. Which is pilgrims here? Which is passing through? The problem with the church today is that I think the church in a way think that this is their home. And we're going to have everything here and we don't have anything for up there. And let me tell you, you're going to live here just for a while. Just for a little while. If you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you're going to find out that those heroes of the faith, they live on this earth just as they were passing through. They were able to give up many of the things that they were able maybe to have it. Moses was one of them, isn't it? He had the ability or the chance to be called son of the Pharaoh and have many things, but he gave them up to serve the living God, to be in the desert, to be in the wilderness. And sometimes, brethren, we have to give our good things to serve the Lord. But you know, within those things, the Lord is going to bless us. I thank the Lord that when I came to the Lord, since I came to the Lord, I have not made money. But you know, I think I'm even richer than to have money. When I go to church, I can say, you know, that is my spiritual son, that one is too. And I can see many of the people that I brought them to the Lord. I can see many of the people that I train that they're saved in the Lord. And what a joy is for me to see them serving the Lord. Money does not do that. What a joy to have the Lord as my Savior and just to be able to walk with Him and to have a personal relationship with Him. And to be able to see His hand, His guiding hand. And you know, I don't know what plans the Lord has for me, but I know that the open door that the Lord has opened for me is to go to Guatemala. He might open something else later on. But you know, if the Lord is so gonna open a door for you, you just have to be ready to say, Lord, whatever door you open, I will follow. And sometimes we are not willing. To ask that to the Lord because we are not willing to give up our things, our plans, our desires. But let me tell you, the plans of God for our lives are much higher and much better than our own plans. Young people, don't think much about your own plans, but you have to come to the point that you will say, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And when you are at that point, the Lord will show you. And let me tell you, you will be a blessed woman, a blessed man, and you are willing to get into the door that the Lord is open for you. Are you willing to do that? You know why? Because if you are willing to get into the door that the Lord is open for you, the verse that we read, it says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. Effectual. You know what effectual means? It means that it's going to be profitable. It means that the Lord has opened that door for a reason, and He's going to give His plans. He's going to give you a clear vision, and He's going to give you a fruitful ministry. In other words, He's going to give you the victory in the things that He has given you. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to be a joyous Christian, because you're going to see, listen to this, you're going to see the hands of the Lord blessing your ministry in the middle of trial. Things are not easy. We have to realize that to serve the Lord in this earth is not easy. You know why? Because this earth, Jesus Himself said that this world belongs to the prince of the air, and this is the devil. Our Lord has a better place for us. This world is just passing through. We're just passing through here. But what a blessed hope to have, that we are just passing through here. And someday we'll be in a better place. Are you sure you are going to a better place, by the way? Are you sure that you will die? If you will die today, you will go into heaven? If you're not, you can be saved today also. Because the Lord can save you today. That is, if you are not saved yet. Just let me finish up with an illustration. One day, a child, he was going to school. He was around 12 years old. And one week, the mother got a letter from the school and said, Mrs. So-and-so, we sent a note with your boy asking you to come a very important meeting from the school, and you did not come. Mom came to her son and said, son, school is sending me this note, and that they sent a note with you for me, which I had not received it. And the boy said, Mom, why didn't you tell me? And the boy said, Mom, I don't want you to go to school. Why don't you want me to go to school? Mom, because your hands are too ugly. Your hands are too ugly. And if my friends see your hands, they might not even be willing to be my friends anymore, because they're going to make fun of me. And I don't want you to go to my school, because they might laugh at me. And mom got the boy and sat and take him to the church and just sat the boy in her lap and said, boy, little son, one day when you were a little one, when I had my little ones, the house that we lived burned out. And the fire people came and they took us all out. But as the fire got bigger, I heard a scream in the house, and the scream of a baby. And I tried to rush in because I knew one of my babies was in the house. And people kind of hold me up and didn't allow me to go in. But in a given moment, they turned around and I just rushed in. and got the boy that was about to be killed in the fire. And in the process, I got out of the house, but my hands, a part of my body, was burned also. And that little one, baby, that little one, was you. Was you. And I was willing to keep my life for you. And the little baby that I was willing to keep my life for, now is a shame because of my hands. And that little one got the hands of her mom and kissed those hands and said, "Mom, forgive me." Since that point, he felt proud of her mom's hands. Those hands became the most precious hands for him. You know what? The Lord has given his best for us. He has left heaven. He left everything to live and to come and to grow up in a place where was not even received. He grew up and he was born in a place. He did not even find place in the inn. Was not a place for him. Rome tried to persecute him and killed most of the children, tried to kill God himself. And sometimes when we come and give ourselves to him, sometimes we are ashamed of him, isn't it? We are not even willing to give a little sacrifice for the one that was grieving, was willing and gave his all for you and for me. What ungrateful sometimes we are, isn't it? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to not to be ashamed of yourself. Not to be so involved in our own lives, in our own plans. But to understand, Lord, that you gave your own life. You gave your all for us, for a sinner like me, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for loving me and be so merciful to me, so gracious, that even though that I don't deserve what I have, you have given me. And I'm sure many of the people that are here also, we don't deserve it. But you have given us salvation. You have given us many things. And even though that sometimes we are ashamed of you, we are not willing to make a sacrifice for you. We are not willing, Lord, to say in, at the workplace that we are Christians, because sometimes in reality is that we're not living for thee. Oh Lord, help us, Lord, to realize, to make an impact for this, for you, and to use and to be willing to open and to get into the doors that you have opened for us. Bless this church, bless this pastor, and use them, Lord, for the glory, and give them the vision. Open their eyes, Lord, to see the doors that you have opened for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Pastor, thank you.